Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. If you've ever, looked up at the stars or picked up a stone or even just wondered about who you really are, well, you've basically been doing philosophy. But today, we're going straight to the core questions, the stuff underneath everything. We're diving into Stephen Mumford's book, Metaphysics, the basic structure of everything.
Right. And this isn't like some dusty old philosophy textbook. The goal here is to unpack the, well, the ultimate blueprint of reality and show that metaphysics, asking these deep questions, it's something we can't really avoid. Mumford argues these questions about, say, existence, identity, what causes things. They aren't just for academics. They're actually the bedrock for pretty much all knowledge, whether it's scientific understanding or just figuring ourselves out.
It can sound a bit intimidating, metaphysics, but think about it like this. We actually rely on metaphysical ideas all the time without even realizing it.
Oh, definitely.
Like, what does it actually mean for something to exist? Or, am I responsible today for something dumb I did 10 years ago? Am I even the same person? These are all fundamentally metaphysical questions.
And that's Mumford's big point, isn't it? You're already thinking about this stuff. He's just giving us the vocabulary, the tools maybe, to think about it more clearly, more consciously.
Right, to do it well.
Exactly. He's trying to map out, basically, the structure of everything that is. So our guide for this is Stephen Mumford. He's a really distinguished professor of metaphysics, held positions at Nottingham and Durham universities, definitely one of the leading figures in philosophy today.
Yeah, he's not just summarizing old ideas. He's actively involved in the debates, shaping them. And we're drawing on his big contribution, this idea called dispositionalism. That's his really unique take on how the world works.
That's absolutely his signature idea. Most views historically kind of saw the world as, passive stuff, just following external rules or laws.
Right, like billiard balls just obeying physics.
Exactly. Mumford flips that. He says, no, reality is active, it's dynamic. Objects themselves have real inherent powers or tendencies as dispositions to act certain ways.
And that's why his book is so great for anyone curious.
Yeah.
He argues metaphysics isn't some dead subject in a museum. It's alive. It's vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like an expert guide showing you where the interesting arguments are happening right now. Okay, so let's dig into the book itself. Mumford's main goal is really to demystify metaphysics, to show how these big questions pop up naturally from just being curious, like wondering if characters in a novel are real in some sense or why gravity works.
Right. And his teaching approach is crucial here. He doesn't just want you to memorize philosophical positions like Plato said this, Aristotle said that. He wants you to build the skill of metaphysical thinking, learning how to define things clearly, spot hidden assumptions, test ideas with thought experiments. It's like mental training.
Yeah, a workout for the brain.
Totally. The book builds things up logically. Starts with ontology, what does it mean to be, then moves through the big pillars, identity and change, causation, time, modality, that's possibility and necessity, and then mind and self.
And he shows how they all connect, right?
Yeah.
It's not just separate topics.
Exactly. You can't really have a solid view of reality if your idea about what objects are clashes with your idea about what causes change. It has to fit together.
Like a coherent picture.
Precisely. And it's written for anyone who's curious but maybe put off by dense philosophical jargon. He makes it accessible.
Okay, let's jump into some of the core ideas. We could start with that classic problem from chapter 3, identity and change. How does anything stay the same thing when it's constantly changing? Your body, a car, a river.
We all wrestle with this intuitively, don't we? You look at an old photo of yourself, maybe from years ago, your cells are different, memories have faded or changed, your beliefs might be totally opposite.
Yeah.
So metaphysically speaking, are you really the same person?
And the famous thought experiment here is the ship of Theseus, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The classic.
If you replace every single plank on a ship, one by one, over years, until none of the original wood is left, is it still the same ship?
And then what if you took all the old original planks and built a second ship? Now, which one is the real ship of Theseus?
Right. It forces you to think, is identity just about the physical stuff, the material, or is it about the form, the history, the function?
And this isn't just abstract puzzling. Think about personal identity. If who you are depends just on, say, continuous memory.
Which can be pretty fragile.
Exactly. Does that affect how we think about moral responsibility over a whole lifetime? Can you be held responsible for something done by a past self you barely connect with? Mumford shows these ideas are deeply linked.
That really hits home. But identity only matters if things actually do change. Which brings us right to chapter 4. Causation. What makes things happen? This is really central to Mumford's own work.
Right. So the standard view for a long time, you often hear it called the human view, after David Hume.
Okay.
It basically says, look, when one billiard ball hits another, we don't see some necessary connection, some force making the second one move. We just see one event regularly followed by another.
Just one thing after another. Constant conjunction.
Constant conjunction, exactly. So Hume argued, causation isn't really in the world. It's more like a habit of our minds. We expect the second ball to move because we've seen it happen so many times. The world itself is kind of passive in this picture.
But hang on. If causation is just regularity, just a pattern we notice, doesn't that make science feel a bit shaky? Like we don't know why the glass breaks when dropped, only that it usually does. It makes the laws of nature seem sort of arbitrary.
That's precisely the issue Mumford tackles head on with his dispositionalism. He argues, no, the world isn't passive. It's full of things with real intrinsic powers or dispositions.
Powers, like superpowers.
Well, maybe not superpowers, but real tendencies, like a match has the power to light when struck. Sugar has the power to dissolve in water. Glass has the disposition, the tendency of fragility.
Okay, I see.
And causation, for Mumford, is simply the manifestation or activation of these powers. The glass breaking is the manifestation of its fragility when dropped.
Okay, that clicks. That feels different. It sort of re-enchants the world, makes it active again.
Yeah.
Change isn't just happening to things because of external laws.
Exactly. It's driven from within things because of what they fundamentally are. Their nature includes these powers. The world is potent, dynamic.
That's a big shift.
It really is. Now, moving from powers and things to the stage they act on, chapter 5 deals with time. We all feel time passing, right? Flowing like a river.
Yeah.
But does it actually flow? Or is that just how our consciousness experiences it? Mumford lays out the two main competing views.
Okay, what are they?
First, there's presentism. This kind of matches our everyday intuition. It says only the present moment is truly real. The past, gone, vanished. The future,
yeah,
not yet existed. Pure potential.
That feels right somehow. Simple.
It does feel intuitive. But then there's the other major view. Eternalism. Sometimes called the block universe theory. This one often fits better with how some physicists think about space-time.
Block universe, like a block of time.
Sort of. Imagine all of time, past, present, future laid out, existing all at once, like locations on a map. London exists, Tokyo exists, they're just in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Eternalism says the past exists, the future exists, just like the present. They're just at different temporal locations. Dinosaurs aren't less real than us, they're just way back then.
Whoa. Okay, that's mind-bending. But wait, if the past and future are just there, fixed, like pages in a book, what does that do to free will? Does choice even mean anything?
Yeah. That's the huge tension, isn't it? How do we square our feeling of moving through time, making choices, with this picture of a static, four-dimensional block where everything is already laid out? Mumford makes you grapple with that.
Okay, wow. So from time, where do we go next?
To the final big concepts. Modality and ontology. Modality sounds fancy, but it's just the study of possibility and necessity. What could have happened? What must be true?
Okay. Like, I could have worn a different shirt today.
Exactly. Or the glass could have broken even if it didn't actually fall. How do we make sense of these coulds and musts? Philosophers often talk about possible worlds to think about this.
Possible worlds, like parallel universes.
Well, some philosophers, like David Lewis, took that idea very literally. He thought there were actual, concrete other universes where every possibility plays out.
Seriously, that sounds like a lot to believe in. Infinite universes.
It's a huge metaphysical commitment, yeah. But Mumford offers a different way, tying it back to his core idea, dispositionalism.
How does that work?
Instead of needing infinite other worlds, he suggests that the possibility of the glass breaking isn't in some other universe. It's grounded right here in the glass's actual property of fragility, its power to break.
So possibility comes from the real powers things have now.
Exactly. Possibility is rooted in the dispositions of things in this world, much more economical, metaphysically speaking.
Makes sense. And then finally, ontology. Back to the beginning, sort of.
Right back to the fundamental question. What does it mean to exist? Mumford isn't just asking if things like numbers or justice exist, but what kind of existence do they have? How do abstract things relate to the concrete, powerful objects he's been describing?
It really ties everything together.
It does. So stepping back from the details, what are the big messages, the key themes running through Mumford's whole argument?
Okay, well, theme one has to be: metaphysics is unavoidable. You can't not do it. The only choice is whether you do it consciously and well, or just stumble around with unexamined assumptions.
That's his big defense of the field, isn't it? Every scientist making an experiment assumes the future will resemble the past, that laws are uniform. That's a metaphysical assumption.
Yeah.
Mumford says we need to be intellectually honest and actually look at those foundations.
Okay, theme two: that dynamic, active view of the world. The primacy of dispositions. The universe isn't just passive stuff being pushed around. It's full of potent things driving change from within.
Right. It changes how you see everything happening. It's not just external laws dictating. It's the inner nature of things manifesting their powers. The world has inherent potential.
And theme three, maybe surprisingly, is the practical relevance. These super abstract questions about identity or causation, they actually connect directly to real life.
How so?
Well, like we said, theories of personal identity affect how we think about responsibility over time, maybe even things like promises or long-term commitments. Theories of causation impact ideas about blame and justice.
Absolutely. Mumford shows that even the most out there philosophical questions have roots in and consequences for how we live and structure our societies.
Mumford's book is full of lines that really stick with you, ways of putting things that clarify these big ideas.
Yeah, he's very good at that.
I really like the one connecting the personal to the philosophical. When we ask whether we are the same person we were 10 years ago, we are doing metaphysics.
Mm-hmm. It makes it so immediate, doesn't it? It shows everyone they're already a metaphysician, basically.
Takes the scariness out of the word.
And then there's the core of his own contribution, that central idea about causation. Causation is the active manifestation of a real power that resides within an object. A thing acts as it does because of what it is.
That captures the whole dispositionalist view so well. The power is inside.
It really does. It shifts the focus entirely. And finally, that overarching defense of the whole enterprise. Metaphysics is not optional. The only choice is to do it well or to do it badly.
Yeah, that's a call to intellectual responsibility, isn't it? Pay attention to your deepest assumptions.
So how can we actually use these ideas? What are the real-life applications?
Well, the most obvious one is just better critical thinking. This stuff trains your mind to spot hidden assumptions, define terms clearly, test arguments, skills useful anywhere.
Right. It makes you question the foundations of claims.
Definitely. And you could apply something like mereology, the study of parts and wholes, to, say, business ethics or law. Is a big corporation one single thing with responsibility, or just a collection of people and contracts?
Yeah. How you answer that has huge implications for legal liability, fines, that kind of thing.
Totally. It clarifies those debates.
And thinking about determinism versus free will, which ties straight into causation and maybe even the nature of time, that forces a deeper look at justice systems. If you lean towards determinism, maybe you focus more on rehabilitation, understanding causes, rather than just pure punishment. If you defend strong free will, individual accountability stays front and center. Mumford gives you the tools to navigate that complex debate.
So reflecting on this deep dive, what really stood out for you? What was the biggest takeaway?
For me, it was seeing the profound interconnectedness of it all. I guess I used to think of these topics, time, causation, objects, as kind of separate boxes.
Yeah, me too.
But Mumford shows how a theory in one area, like his dispositionalism about objects, forces you into certain positions about possibility or time or even the mind. It's the single, coherent, integrated map of reality he's building. That was really powerful.
That's a great point. For me, I think it was the emphasis on contextual clarity. The book doesn't just give you answers, it gives you intellectual tools. Learning how to break down fuzzy concepts like identity or possibility, how to use thought experiments like the Ship of Theseus to test intuitions, that leads to genuine aha moments. And those tools, that way of thinking, you can apply them anywhere, not just in philosophy. It helps you understand the basic structure of arguments and the world itself.
It really does turn something that seems abstract and maybe intimidating into something quite essential for understanding our place in this, well, dynamic and potent universe Mumford describes.
Couldn't agree more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.